Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the Word of God. In the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I'm giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set foot, you will be on land I have given you, from the Negev wilderness in the south to the Lebanon mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the land of the Hittites. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Verses 1 through 9, Joshua chapter 1. Reading verse 9 one more time. "This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Again, Joshua verses 1 through 9. Then looking in the book of Psalms, Psalm 27, beginning at verse 1. "The Lord is my light and my salvation, so why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger, so why should I tremble? When evil people come to devour me, when my enemies and foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though a mighty army surrounds me, my heart will not be afraid. Even if I'm attacked, I will remain confident. The one thing I ask of the Lord, the one thing I seek most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in his temple. For he will conceal me there when troubles come. He will hide me in his sanctuary. He will place me out of reach on a high rock. Then I will hold my head high above my enemies who surround me. At his sanctuary, I will offer sacrifices with shouts of joy, singing and praising the Lord with music. Hear me as I pray, O Lord. Be merciful and answer me. My heart has heard you say, 'Come and talk with me.' And my heart responds, 'Lord, I am coming.' Do not turn your back on me. Do not reject your servant in anger. You have always been my helper. Don't leave me now. Don't abandon me, O God of my salvation. Even if my father and mother abandon me, the Lord will hold me close. Teach me how to live, O Lord. Lead me along the right path, for my enemies are waiting for me. Do not let me fall into their hands, for they accuse me of things I've never done. With every breath, they threaten me with violence. Yet I'm confident I will see the Lord's goodness while I'm here in the land of the living. Wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord." Verses 1 through 14, all of Psalm 27. Lord, thank you for the power of your word, the grace of your word, the awe-inspiring beauty of your word, and thank you for so, so much more that is true about the wonderful, blessed word we have the privilege of being able to open every day and spend time with you with each and every day. Lord, thank you for the fact that you have words of life, power, and grace to speak to us every day as much as we will listen. Empower us to be the listening church you've called us to be, a church that's wise enough to fill up on your wisdom, your power, and your grace found in your word daily, and then go out and walk in its power, its wisdom, its grace as well. Thank you for the wonderful gift of your word. Anoint us afresh with the spirit of grace that would encourage us to be diligent, to fill our hearts and our minds with your word daily, and to teach and train our children to do the same. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, thank you so much for your promises in Scripture. And thank you so much for your grand plan. Father, I know that in the Old Testament you promised that you would write your law on our hearts. And Father, I know that in the New Testament you clarify that your word is Jesus and Jesus is your word. And Father, I know that before Jesus was born, the angel said that he'd be called Emmanuel, meaning God with us. And I know that whenever Jesus was about to ascend back to heaven, he said, I'll be with you always to the very end of the age. And so, Father, thank you so much for the Holy Spirit, who is Jesus, who does write your law in our hearts. And Father, thank you so much for the Holy Spirit and Jesus, who is your word, who lives in our hearts. Father, thank you so much for guiding us, for teaching us, and for equipping us in your ways. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. You know, on a pretty regular basis, if you're a regular AFR listener, you may know that here on AFR, we encourage believers to pray Psalm 91 on a consistent basis. I want to share with you some encouragement in just close to this time of the beginning of a brand new year, 2025. Keep in mind, God's word, amongst other things, is an arsenal of weapons. Now, in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 20, it tells us some very important truths about God's word. I'm going to share that. Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 20. A final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you'll be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For you're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor, so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news, so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. And pray for me, too. Ask God to give me the right word so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan that the good news is for Jews and Gentiles alike. I'm in chains now, still preaching this message as God's ambassador. So pray that I will keep on speaking boldly for him as I should. Again, Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 20. And again, specifically, as I pointed out again, verse 17 says, put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So keep in mind, all of God's word is the sword of the Spirit. So all of the word of God is a weapon. But keep in mind, not only is the word of God as a whole a weapon, it's also an arsenal of weapons. Now, what is an arsenal? An arsenal is a collection of weapons. And that's exactly what the word of God is. And so as believers, we're wise to recognize this, that just as this passage in Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 20 points out, like it or not, we're dealing with heavy, serious warfare every day of our lives. Though we may not like that idea, the fact is we're dealing with warfare. And so we're wise to take the most powerful weapon in the universe, the Word of God, and use it wisely. So amongst other things, I want to encourage you to make it a goal to pray Psalm 91 daily. And one of the reasons being is Psalm 91 is one of the many weapons found within the great weapon of the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. It's wise to pray it every day because every day we're dealing with an enemy that's trying to assault us and come against us spiritually, physically, emotionally, mentally, and in every other way. And Psalm 91 is a unique weapon to help combat the enemy. And so praying it daily is just wise. It's a weapon whereby when you pray it daily, it does minister to your physical health and well-being. But also, it's a wonderful weapon for putting supernatural protection to work in your life. So my encouragement to you is that you take time to read Psalm 91 on a daily basis and pray Psalm 91. Let's take time to read it now. Psalm 91, beginning at verse 1. Those who dwell in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him. For he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrow that flies in the day. Do not dread the disease that stalks in darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you. Just open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you, no plague will come near your home. For he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. You will trample upon the lions and cobras. You will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. All of Psalm 91. Lord, thank you for all those we've lifted up in prayer today and all those that are part of our listening family. Today we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and so we abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Today we say of the Lord, you are our refuge and our fortress, our God, in you do we trust. Surely you deliver us from the fowler's snare and from the noisome pestilence. You cover us with your feathers, and under your wings do we trust. Your truth is our shield and buckler. And so we are not afraid for the terrible night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor for the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at our side, and 10,000 at our right hand, but it shall not come near us. Only with our eyes shall we look and see the reward of the wicked, because we have made the Lord our refuge, even the Most High habitation. No evil will befall us, neither shall any plague come near our dwelling. For you give your angels charge over us to keep us in all our ways. They bear us up in their hands, lest we dash our foot against a stone. We tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent. We trample underfoot because we have set our love upon you. Therefore, you deliver us. You set us on high because we have known your name. We call upon you and you answer us. You are with us in trouble. You deliver us and honor us. With long life, you satisfy us and show us your salvation. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Again, our encouragement to you is that you read it and pray it every day of your life over yourself and over your family. And to every parent listening, parents, I would challenge you to guide, encourage, and reward your children to memorize Psalm 91 and to memorize the Psalm 91 prayer and reward them as they pray it on a daily basis, because one day God may very well use them to save you and your whole family, their school, or whatever other place they may find themselves in. God can use our children wonderfully to do his work as well. If you're not praying Psalm 91 every day, today is a good day to start. We'll be right back.
Blood poured out for us.
The music of Carrie Job with Forever. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We pick up now reading through the Word of God in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 29, beginning at verse 15. These men called together their fellow Levites, and they all purified themselves. Then they began to cleanse the temple of the Lord, just as the king had commanded. They were careful to follow all the Lord's instructions in their work. The priests went into the sanctuary of the temple of the Lord to cleanse it, and they took out to the temple courtyard all the defiled things they found. From there, the Levites carted it all out to the Kidron Valley. They began the work in early spring on the first day of the new year, and in 8 days they had reached the entry room of the Lord's temple. Then they purified the temple of the Lord itself, which took another 8 days. So the entire task was completed in 16 days. Then the Levites went to King Hezekiah and gave him this report. We have cleansed the entire temple of the Lord, the altar of burnt offering with all its utensils, and the table of the bread of the presence with all its utensils. We have also recovered all the items discarded by King Ahaz when he was unfaithful and closed the temple. We are now in front of the altar of the Lord, purified and ready for use. Early the next morning, King Hezekiah gathered the city officials and went to the temple of the Lord. They brought 7 bulls, 7 rams, and 7 male lambs as a burnt offering, together with 7 male goats as a sin offering for the kingdom, for the temple, and for Judah. The king commanded the priests, who were descendants of Aaron, to sacrifice the animals on the altar of the Lord. So they killed the bulls, and the priests took the blood and sprinkled it on the altar. Next, they killed the rams and sprinkled their blood on the altar. And finally, they did the same with the male lambs. The male goats for the sin offering were then brought before the king and the assembly of people, who laid their hands on them. The priests then killed the goats as a sin offering and sprinkled their blood on the altar to make atonement for the sins of all Israel. The king had specifically commanded that this burnt offering and sin offering should be made for all Israel. King Hezekiah then stationed the Levites at the temple of the Lord with cymbals, lyres, and harps. He obeyed all the commands that the Lord had given to King David through Gad, the king's seer, and the prophet Nathan. The Levites then took their positions around the temple with the instruments of David. And the priests took their positions with the trumpets. Then Hezekiah ordered that the burnt offering be placed on the altar. As the burnt offering was presented, songs of praise to the Lord were begun, accompanied by the trumpets and other instruments of David, the former king of Israel. The entire assembly worshiped the Lord as the singers sang and the trumpets blew until all the burnt offerings were finished. Then the king and everyone with him bowed down in worship. King Hezekiah and the officials ordered the Levites to praise the Lord with the psalms written by David and by Asaph the seer. So they offered joyous praise and bowed down in worship. Then Hezekiah declared, "Now that you have consecrated yourselves to the Lord, bring your sacrifices and thanksgiving offerings to the temple of the Lord." So the people brought their sacrifices and thanksgiving offerings, and all whose hearts were willing brought burnt offerings too. The people brought to the Lord 70 bulls, 100 rams, and 200 male lambs for burnt offerings. They also brought 600 cattle and 3,000 sheep and goats as sacred offerings. But there were too few priests to prepare all the burnt offerings. So their relatives, the Levites, helped them until the work was finished and more priests had been purified. For the Levites had been more conscientious about purifying themselves than the priests had been. There was an abundance of burnt offerings along with the usual liquid offerings and a great deal of fat from the many peace offerings. So the temple of the Lord was restored to service. And Hezekiah and all the people rejoiced because of what God had done for the people, for everything had been accomplished so quickly. 2 Chronicles chapter 30. King Hezekiah now sent word to all Israel and Judah. And he wrote letters of invitation to the people of Ephraim and Manasseh. He asked everyone to come to the temple of the Lord at Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover of the Lord, the God of Israel. The king, his officials, and all the community of Jerusalem decided to celebrate the Passover a month later than usual. They were unable to celebrate it at the prescribed time because not enough priests could be purified by then, and the people had not yet assembled at Jerusalem. This plan for keeping the Passover seemed right to the king and all the people. So they sent a proclamation throughout all Israel from Beersheba in the south to Dan in the north, inviting everyone to come to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover of the Lord, the God of Israel. The people had not been celebrating it in great numbers as required in the law. At the king's command, runners were sent throughout Israel and Judah. They carried letters that said, O people of Israel, return to the Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, so that he will return to the few of us who have survived the conquest of the Assyrian kings. Do not be like your ancestors and relatives who abandoned the Lord, the God of their ancestors, and became an object of derision, as you yourselves can see. Do not be stubborn as they were, but submit yourselves to the Lord. Come to his temple, which he has set apart as holy forever. Worship the Lord your God so that his fierce anger will turn away from you. For if you return to the Lord, your relatives and your children will be treated mercifully by their captors, and they will be able to return to this land. For the Lord your God is gracious and merciful. If you return to him, he will not continue to turn his face from you. The runners went from town to town throughout Ephraim and Manasseh and as far as the territory of Zebulun. But most of the people just laughed at the runners and made fun of them. However, some people from Asher, Manasseh, and Zebulun humbled themselves and went to Jerusalem. At the same time, God's hand was on the people in the land of Judah, giving them all one heart to obey the orders of the king and his officials, who were following the word of the Lord. So a huge crowd assembled at Jerusalem in mid-spring to celebrate the festival of unleavened bread. They set to work and removed the pagan altars from Jerusalem. They took away all the incense altars and threw them into the Kidron Valley. On the 14th day of the second month, 1 month later than usual, the people slaughtered the Passover lamb. They shamed the priests and Levites, so they purified themselves and brought burnt offerings to the temple of the Lord. Then they took their places at the temple as prescribed in the law of Moses, the man of God. The Levites brought the sacrificial blood to the priests, who then sprinkled it on the altar. Since many of the people had not purified themselves, the Levites had to slaughter their Passover lamb for them to set them apart for the Lord. Most of those who came from Ephraim, Manasseh, Issachar, and Zebulun had not purified themselves. But King Hezekiah prayed for them, and they were allowed to eat the Passover meal anyway, even though this was contrary to the requirements of the law. For Hezekiah said, "May the Lord, who is good, pardon those who decide to follow the Lord, the God of their ancestors, even though they are not properly cleansed for the ceremony." And the Lord listened to Hezekiah's prayer and healed the people. So the people of Israel who were present in Jerusalem joyously celebrated the festival of unleavened bread for 7 days. Each day, the Levites and priests sang to the Lord, accompanied by loud instruments. Hezekiah encouraged all the Levites regarding the skill they displayed as they served the Lord. The celebration continued for 7 days. Peace offerings were sacrificed, and the people gave thanks to the Lord, the God of their ancestors. The entire assembly then decided to continue the festival another 7 days, so they celebrated joyfully for another week. King Hezekiah gave the people 1,000 bulls and 7,000 sheep and goats for offerings, and the officials donated 1,000 bulls and 10,000 sheep and goats. Meanwhile, many more priests purified themselves. The entire assembly of Judah rejoiced, including the priests, the Levites, all who came from the land of Israel, the foreigners who came to the festival, and all those who lived in Judah. There was great joy in the city, for Jerusalem had not seen a celebration like this one since the days of Solomon, King David's son. Then the priests and Levites stood and blessed the people, and God heard their prayer from his holy dwelling in heaven. 2 Chronicles chapter 31. When the festival ended, the Israelites who attended went to all the towns of Judah, Benjamin, Ephraim, and Manasseh, and they smashed all the sacred pillars, cut down the Asherah poles, and removed the pagan shrines and altars. After this, the Israelites returned to their own towns and homes. Verse 1, 2 Chronicles chapter 31. Thank you again, Father, for your word, and thank you for how that your word teaches us, informs us, guides us. Thank you, Lord, for the insights and the truths concerning worship and praise found in the passages we've just read. Father, anoint us all afresh as your church to be the church that is seeking to hear your word, to obey your word, to live a life and a lifestyle of thanksgiving, praise, and worship. Anoint us afresh today, Lord, with the spirit of praise and worship and thanksgiving. Empower us to be the worshiping church you've called us to be. More and more purify us by the power of your Holy Spirit. Help us to live to be the holy church you've called us to be, a church set apart for your work and your will. Help us to know, Lord, that every day is a day for us to seek you in your word, to seek you in prayer, to seek you in your word, to seek to live a life of obedience. And every day is a day for us to be diligent, to really be a hearer and doer of your word. Lord, what a blessing it is for us to know that your word is your counsel. It's your guidance. Your word is your wisdom to teach us how to live a blessed life, a fruitful life, an obedient life, a life that honors you. Help us to live continually a life that fully honors you in every way. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're reading through the Word of God. We'll be right back.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. this song, this cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand.
Music of Christian Stanfill with In Christ Alone. Thanks for listening again. Christian Stanfill, In Christ Alone. Reading through the Word of God, we pick up now in the New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. In those days, John the Baptist came to the Judean wilderness and began preaching. His message was, "Repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near." The prophet Isaiah was speaking about John when he said, "He is a voice shouting in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way for the Lord's coming, clear the road for him.'" John's clothes were woven from coarse camel hair, and he wore a leather belt around his waist. For food, he ate locusts and wild honey. People from Jerusalem and from all of Judea and all over the Jordan Valley went out to see and hear John. And when they confessed their sins, he baptized them in the Jordan River. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming to watch him baptize, he denounced them. "You brood of snakes," he exclaimed, "who warned you to flee the coming wrath? Prove by the way you live that you have repented of your sins and turned to God. Don't just say to each other, 'We're safe, for we're descendants of Abraham.' That means nothing, for I tell you, God can create children of Abraham from these very stones. Even now, the axe of God's judgment is poised, ready to sever the roots of the trees. Yes, every tree that does not produce good fruit will be chopped down and thrown into the fire. I baptize with water those who repent of their sins and turn to God. But someone is coming soon who is greater than I am, so much greater that I'm not worthy even to be his slave and carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He is ready to separate the chaff from the wheat with his winnowing fork. Then he will clean up the threshing area, gathering the wheat into his barn, but burning the chaff with never-ending fire." Then Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. But John tried to talk him out of it. "I'm the one who needs to be baptized by you," he said. "So why are you coming to me?" But Jesus said, "It should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires." So John agreed to baptize him. After his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my dearly loved Son, who brings me great joy. Matthew chapter 4. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights he fasted and became very hungry. During that time the devil came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus told him, "No, the scriptures say, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city, Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple, and said, "If you are the Son of God, jump off. For the scriptures say, he will order his angels to protect you, and they will hold you up with their hands, so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone." Jesus responded, "The scriptures also say, you must not test the Lord your God." Next, the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. "I will give it all to you," he said, "if you will kneel down and worship me." "Get out of here, Satan," Jesus told him, "for the scriptures say, you must worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil went away, and angels came and took care of Jesus. When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he left Judea and returned to Galilee. He went first to Nazareth, and then left there and moved to Capernaum, beside the Sea of Galilee, in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. This fulfilled what God said through the prophet Isaiah, "In the land of Zebulun and of Naphtali, beside the sea, beyond the Jordan River, in Galilee, where so many Gentiles live, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who lived in the land where death casts its shadow, a light has shined." From then on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near." For the kingdom of heaven is near. One day, as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, "Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." And they left their nets at once and followed him. A little farther up the shore, he saw two other brothers, James and John, sitting in a boat with their father Zebedee, repairing their nets. And he called them to come too. They immediately followed him, leaving the boat and their father behind. Jesus traveled throughout the region of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. News about him spread as far as Syria, and people soon began bringing to him all who were sick. And whatever their sickness or disease, or if they were demon-possessed, or epileptic, or paralyzed, he healed them all. Large crowds followed him wherever he went. People from Galilee, the 10 towns, Jerusalem, from all over Judea, and from east of the Jordan River. Matthew chapter 5. One day, he saw the crowds gathering. Jesus went up on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples gathered around him, and he began to teach them. "God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. Be happy about it. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. You are the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. Verses 1 through 14, Matthew chapter 5. Thank you again, Father, for your word. Thank you for the power and the grace that rests upon your word. Lord, thank you for the fact that as we read and meditate on your word, we're spending time one-on-one with you. Thank you for the truth that your word pours grace, counsel, wisdom, peace, power, and encouragement into our hearts, into our minds, into our lives. Help us, Lord, to be wise enough to make it the high priority you'd have us to make it, spending time in your word each and every day. More and more, teach us, Lord, to use the arsenal of your word for the weaponry that's insofar as how to take it and use that weaponry to walk forward in victory every day of our lives. Help us to be wise enough to read your word, to hear it, believe it, speak it, pray it, obey it, and meditate on it. And Lord, help us to be wise enough to teach and train our children to do the same. Lord, help us to be wise enough to encourage and incentivize our children to learn Psalm 91 and to teach and train them to pray it daily and to stand on it daily so that they too can learn to put their faith to work in a very aggressive and wonderful and productive way so that they too can be the kingdom warriors, even as young people that you would have them to be. Thank you for the fact that your word is a wonderful and a powerful weapon, and that as we're wise enough to really put it to work, we can see your power, your grace working in our lives in a much greater way than ways that perhaps we've ever seen before. We thank you for the gift and the power of the weapon of your word. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession as we usually do before we end the broadcast. If you are listening today and you've never made the eternally important decision of asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart to be your Lord and Savior, today is a wonderful day, a great day to make that very important decision and step in your life. If you want to make that step, would you, from your heart, pray this prayer with us now and fully commit your heart and life to the Lord? Would you pray with us even now? Lord Jesus, you have loved us with an everlasting love. You loved us so much that you came into the world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, right now, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Thank you, Father, for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer and committed your life to Christ, we want to be in touch with you. My email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Please contact us. We want to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong and help you put down deep roots in your new walk and relationship with Christ. Please get in touch. Again, that email is joseph@afr.net. We hope to hear from you. And if you'd like to get a copy of the Psalm 91 prayer, same email. We're glad to get it to you. Email us, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get that to you as well. Thank you for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.